Hi Dominique, welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. How are you?
Good, good. I'm just brushing up on my real estate building costs analysis and
In the US or the UK?
I'm kidding. I'm saying in the U.S.
Ah, not good.
because of the Fed. Okay, cool. So as we always like to do, let's kind of dig into the market moving events, anything that stood out from a political or financial standpoint, market reaction, etc. Like what stood out in the past week?
So this was a data light week. So perhaps that explains why President Trump visit to the Fed building site, to be specific, got a lot of attention. In terms of market impact, I think it will be limited. Chair Powell is not budging, and he has most of the cards. So other than that, we saw equities scale new high, which is not surprising. I'd said that over the summer, not much would happen, which was positive for equities. But the reality checks are more likely to come in the fall when earnings growth turns out not to be as good, or the recovery is not showing up as market participants expect, and things take
That's for the
longer.
next quarter. So you mean like October or something like that?
Yeah,
Yeah, fine. Okay.
things take longer to happen in the real economies and in financial markets.
Fair enough. Okay. And then surprised by any mark by how the market's reacting to things or anything there?
No, it's a summer. I mean, this was really a quiet week. The action is coming next week, which is super busy. So starting with the Fed. So we already know the
Yeah.
Fed is staying pat. We know that we're probably going to get two decent from Governor Waller and Vice Chair Bowman. And I think it announces a trend of greater dissent at the Fed. President Trump is going to have two slots to fill next year, perhaps two slots, definitely one. He's going to appoint a chair who will have to commit to cutting rates in order to get the job. So it's very likely that we could start seeing the FOMC outvote the chair, just like we've seen in the UK. A greater diversity of opinions, in my view, is good for decision making. So nothing wrong with that. I think the market is a bit ahead of its skis in thinking that this one person will be able to turn the Fed around and implement much more dovish policies than otherwise. But this is a discussion for the fall when we see the first candidate for the spot of Governor Kugler that opens in January. That's when we are going to see the likely nominee. So for next week, nothing happens. I think Chair Powell could hint to a cut in the fall with the appropriate caveat. Inflation is well behaved, simply because the Fed forecast two cuts this year. They're not cutting this time around, so they only have four meetings. At the same time, we're seeing a marked growth slowdown, a marked slowdown in NFP. NFP, I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Not impacting unemployment. So on balance, the labor market looks okay, simply because we have had a sharp fall in immigration and in labor supply. But I mean, slower growth means risk to employment. At the same time, Inflation is well behaved. If it stays well behaved, the Fed will have to start delivering on its two cuts. And I think, September is in my view is likely. And there is even a chance that Chair Powell could hint at a September cut. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So, do you think he always seems to kind of say, oh, it's better to keep our options open? But, like, September seems like the market's focused. Yeah. So, what are the odds do you think that he signals something about September?
I would think slightly over 50%. He's going to say, we will take our decision meeting by meeting based on the totality of the data. It's almost an incantation for the Fed. But hey, he has only four meetings, and we're going to get to NFP. It's really slowing. And it's slowing without wage acceleration. So,
There's
there's
some good cases, yeah.
yeah.
And weekly claims has started coming down again. So does that concern you about the narrative around employment is definitely slowing?
So no, I mean it's a weekly data. It's fairly volatile. It's more a consolidation. At current levels, I wouldn't call it a decline yet. Of course, a decline is possible, but no, I'm not seeing enough of a change to change my views that the economy is slowing and the risk of recession are going up. I would say that in terms of risk of recession, one of the better indicator is a conference board leading indicators series. And last week it hit the recession trigger, which is a -5% change in the 6 months in change SAR. This seems very specific, but I mean it. The idea here is the economy is losing momentum. I'm definitely not calling for a recession based on this indicator, which gave a false positive in 2022-23, which is, I think, why the conference board did not blow its horn on the risk of a recession. But
The economy was slowing then. I mean, it was slowing then. I mean, there wasn't a question. Yeah.
It was slowing in 2022-23. I think there was also the yield curve inversion, which gave a
Yeah.
false positive, and which, of course, is not happening this time around. So no, not changing the narrative.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
NFP?
So next week as a whole, yeah, what else stands out and should clients look out for?
So our favorite NFP, and there is something really, really fascinating, which is actually negative for equities. Let me explain why.
I don't, maybe we shouldn't even talk about it. I'm just kidding.
Negative for equities in the fall suggests
Okay, fine.
earnings are not going to be as great, are not going to recover as
Yeah.
analysts expect. So we have a slowdown in NFP to 100,000. Without much of an acceleration in wages or much of an increase in unemployment. But that's a wages that's really super interesting because a year ago, NFP were going at about 200,000 clip. The fact that we have such a slowdown without an acceleration in unemployment means that. We have a decline in labor supply that matches a decline in labor demand.
Yeah.
But if you had such a big decline in labor supply, you'd expect wages to go up, and they are not. So this is what is going on here is that immigration has a positive impact on the supply side of the economy, more people who want to work. But also a positive impact on the demand side, more people who want to buy stuff. And so it was always uncertain whether a decline in immigration would have more of an impact on demand or supply, more of an impact on growth than inflation. And it looks like it's balanced. But, in running in the backdrop, we have this enormous policy uncertainty. And if you look at all the latest surveys, whether they are consumer or business survey, we see that consumption that confidence, private sector confidence, is still low. So that is keeping demand for businesses,
Interesting.
products and services low. And that's why wage growth is not picking up. And so what this suggests is that we're going to have a decrease in the growth rate because of the decrease in the number of people prepared to work. I think, NFP could slow from about 1% on average this year to half a percentage point next year. So this doesn't seem much. But in terms of growth data, given that the trend was 2%, it's actually quite low. We'll have a 1/4 decrease in trend growth, basically, because of lower immigration without an acceleration in inflation. So it means that nominal GDP growth is going to slow. And if we have a slowdown in nominal GDP growth, it's going to impact earnings growth unless
Taxes get cut or something, yeah.
unless margins go up.
Yeah.
And given that profit as a share of income, which is a proxy for margin, is already at a post-World War II high, there isn't, it's going to be tough to increase those margins. So that's why, I'm thinking what we're seeing here is actually not that great for the equity markets.
Right. Well, I guess the flip side, one could be tech or AI, which could help support margins or margin expansion. I guess another thing could be if businesses are thinking, well, I guess it's a trade. I was going to say if U.S. businesses are thinking, well, we have less competition from foreign companies, maybe we'll be able to keep our margins or even expand them slightly. But I guess that would be inflation, right? Like if they think they can
So,
raise prices.
for sure, less competition because of the tariff, but higher cost because of the tariff. So, it's hard to predict how it will shape out. And the
Yeah.
AI productivity increase, I think the spot on. But what I find people ignore in that whole AI discussion is the impact of slower growth in employment, which we are already seeing. I mean, the job market for college graduates is one of the toughest in years. So I think we're already seeing the impact
That's
of
more
it.
the growth, yeah. So that could slow
But
growth.
it means people have less money in their pocket,
Yeah.
right? And typically, when you have, and that's true also of the internet revolution, when you have a technological revolution that saves on labor, it's often followed by a crisis and deflation, or at least disinflation, because there is less money in people's pockets. So all these wonderful goods and services that are being produced more efficiently, there isn't anyone to buy them. And actually, GDP goes down because, for GDP
Right.
is supply and demand. And if the
Did you join the Trump administration?
Pardon?
You join the Trump administration? Are you
No,
calling for
but the
100
thing
basis
is,
points?
no, but this is another interesting
I
development.
know.
So
No,
Trump
I know, which is possible. One other question I want to ask is the big beautiful bill, which we talked about. So one of the things is around, was it like no tax on tips? So the service industry, although maybe some of it's being disrupted by technology, automation, but it's still pretty big in America. So do we think, we've never discussed this before, do we think that employers will change how they reward, how they remunerate employees. If they're like, hey, you know what, actually I can lower your salary and we could just focus more on increasing your tips because you're not getting paid any taxes on that. And does that have an impact on inflation or growth?
It would, and the question is, who has power in that business employer-employee relationship? If
Oh, yeah.
employers can't sell or don't have as many people coming to eat at their restaurant, they won't have, you know, and if there are more people looking for jobs, then employers won't have as much pressure or won't be able to grant wage increases. And so what you are describing could very well happen, that they use the excuse of no tax on tips to lower overall compensation. So it's really going to depend on how strong growth is and how tight the labor market is.
It's interesting because if you're running a business, you know, one thing you can say is you can start running much more aggressive campaigns, and you can say I'm lowering food prices to care about the, you know, our customers by 10%, but we're including a recommended 25% tip.
Welcome to America. I mean, no matter where you go in
I'm sure
America,
I'm not the only
you are
person
asked for
who's
tips.
thought of
Even
that. Yes.
if it is pick up food, food that you pick up yourself at a counter, you definitely there is an attempt by businesses to shift labor costs, which is not picked up by the
No, but
CPI.
I'm just saying, like, waiters, if you said it costs $20 to buy something now, and then you tell employee, you know, you tell all your customers, actually, we've lowered prices by 10%, so it's actually $18, you know, to eat. But normally we would have a 15% suggested tip built into the, you know, into the check. It's now going to be 25% because we care about our employees, and you know, and net, it's kind of whatever, it works out to like pretty much the same price. But the employees, and then you tell the employees, is like, hey, listen, I normally pay you, you know, whatever, $200 a day. I'm actually now going to pay you $160 a day, but the way it's going to work out, you'll take home post taxes more money.
Well, everybody is happy, right? Because it
Yeah.
doesn't show up. Not only employees get more money, employers get more profit, but it doesn't show up in the CPI statistics, and the administration can claim that.
They can actually claim that prices are going down because the food prices
Exactly.
actually are 18, they're actually
Exactly.
down 10%. The only issue is the taxes that the government collects will be lower. So, okay, cool. I was just curious on that thing. Okay, any other things, big things standing out?
So we'll get I mean there is a
Yeah,
slew of
PCE, I guess, and yeah.
yeah second order data, so we'll get the monthly breakdown of consumption and income and the PCE index. So to me a key piece of data is the savings rate, because it's really the increase in the savings rate both with household and businesses. That's been a big driver of the growth slowdown. So I'll be looking out for a further increase. We'll have the trade
Okay, so
balance.
higher savings rate,
A
is
higher.
pretty much bad because it'll be viewed that
So.
consumers are concerned about their job or inflation or something like that.
Right. It means that less of the wages paid to the household sector get recycled as consumption. And the big driver of the growth slowdown, it's been really people getting concerned about, you know, what's coming next, and postponing spending. for businesses, postponing investment, postponing employment. So that's been a big driver of the growth slowdown. So that's a key variable I'm looking at. Then we get the trade balance, which I, until the inauguration, I didn't pay any attention, but now it's important because it's going to give us a sense of where imports are at and what was the average tariff last month. And then, other things like jobs, PMIs. I mean, PMIs are important from a trading perspective, but not so much from an economic perspective. So just the usual end of month, beginning of month stuff, basically.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, wish you a great weekend. Wish all of our clients and listeners also a great weekend and obviously very successful trading. Really appreciate and for people who are listening to our weekly markets webinar as well on Wednesdays, please keep the suggestions. And a lot of people gave some good suggestions on things to that they want us to focus on more, which has been great. Active questions, and yeah, all the best.
Likewise, Andrew, and good luck, everybody.